Welcome back, Tyler and Mitch, with you until 5 o'clock. I've spent that break rearranging things, getting things figured out as far as what we're going to do through the rest of this hour. Again, we knew we would have a short show until 5:30, but now it gets even shorter as K-State baseball, their first pitch has been moved up to 5:30, and pregame coverage will start at 5 o'clock. So we are going to save the audio from DJ Reed until tomorrow. Again, I asked him how hard he would hit a member of the media if they were fielding a kick or a punt at the spring game, like James Franklin offered to the Penn State media last week, and the audio is just great. You're going to love it. I think we're going to be able to bring that to you tomorrow. For right now, and you just heard it in Mitch's update, K-State basketball announcing the signing of McCall Maween, who is a junior college transfer from New Mexico Junior College. Spent a year as a player who did not see the court at Utah, but he did have offers from Utah and Gonzaga and BYU. So he did have some legitimate offers there. Originally from Egypt, that's where he was raised, named McCall Maween. And he's 6'9", 220. He's a forward who is one of those, he kind of fits the bill of one of those players that Bruce Weber has liked to bring into K-State's program, a guy of versatility that can do a lot of different things for you. He is capable of playing the center position. He did average 2 blocks a game as part of what he was able to do at New Mexico Junior College last year. He did lead that team in 4 different categories, including block shots and rebounding as well. He averaged six rebounds a game. He can also shoot the three-pointer, which is rare for a guy of his size, but he is capable of doing that. Now, the good news is that, like I said, this is the type of player that Bruce Weber has typically liked bringing in, and he does give K-State some athleticism. I think that he will be able to help K-State right away. The downside is that he certainly does not have the girth that DJ Johnson did, and so for that reason, they are going to rely a lot on Isaiah Maurice and James Love to pick up some of the slack that is left behind by DJ Johnson. It's just going to be a different look for K-State as an entire basketball team next year, in my opinion. They're going to be a smaller team. They're going to have to play with the style of a smaller team, need to shoot the three-pointers well, need to make your free throws, need to share the ball very well, you know, be a good assist-to-turnover kind of team. So that's the downside to it, is that it kind of forces K-State to play a certain way, because it doesn't look like they're going to be able to just man up in terms of their front court and be able to bully anyone around the same way that DJ Johnson did, at least over his last couple of years at K-State.
And right now the vibe I get from him is he was good as a JUCO player, but he still needs to be more developed to be that next level player, because I've never seen film of this guy.
I watched a little bit earlier today.
For now, he seems like an athlete, but he doesn't seem like a five. He doesn't seem like that guy that can battle on the boards, bang bodies, and overpower guys. He has the height, but he doesn't have the height to be a five. So he'll have to use his athleticism to get in there and make plays. I'm sure he can make plays, but and when you mention three-pointers, he can shoot, but he only made 17 last season. I mean, it's not his... It's not his first shot, obviously.
Right. He's not a banger. He's not going to go in and be able to, like, let's just put him up against, like, a Landon Lucas of KU. He's not going to box out Landon Lucas. And, I mean, I know that's a moot point because Landon Lucas graduated, but I'm just talking about that kind of player. He's not going to be able to control the paint for you in that same way. So that means that he's going to have to do some other things to help this team. And look, if you're just going to be honest about it, this has been one of Bruce Weber's weaker recruiting classes since he's been at K-State. But that doesn't mean that these guys aren't capable of going back to the NCAA tournament. It just means they have to embrace a different style, and they do absolutely have to show some year-to-year development among a lot of different guys. We need to see more from Dean Wade next year. We need to see more from Barry Brown next year. We need to see more from Xavier Sneed next year. And then these new guys coming up, what can Isaiah Maurice do from what he did last year to next year? Can James Love contribute something for you, even though he was never able to get on the court? Same story for Cartier-Jara. Just a lot of question marks that don't necessarily mean that K-State cannot win at a high level, but it's going to be a different team, and they're going to have to do it a different way than they've done it the last couple of years when they've had DJ Johnson in there as kind of a lockdown center forward combo for you. So that's the news today as McCall Maween out of New Mexico Junior College and originally born in Egypt before he ended up in Utah and played for the Utes for a year. He ends up at K-State, 3 years of eligibility that begins immediately. Now, on a different note, the Royals have had just a miserable stretch over the last 5 days or so. They've lost five games in a row, getting swept in a four-game series by the Texas Rangers, and then last night in a laugher by the Chicago White Sox. And it's early. It's still April, but you are getting closer and closer to that point where you can't, you just can't have a ton of faith that they are going to find a way to get things turned around. I mean, the bright sides, I guess, are that I know the phrase hitting is contagious, and I know that Jorge Soler has not played yet with the major league team. He should be coming up in about a week or so to join the Royals. Those are some glimmers of hope, I suppose. But tonight's lineup indicates that Ned Yost is starting to get concerned about where the team is at because, Mitch, I doubt you've seen it yet, but have you seen tonight's starting lineup for the Royals?
Let me know what it is.
Do you know? Actually, it's not the whole lineup that I'm really talking about here, but would you like to take a guess as to who is leading off? It would be Mike Moustakas leading off for the Royals tonight, which
Things up.
It's shaking things up, and it's saying, look, Mike Moustakas has been our best hitter so far. We're going to give him the most at-bats by putting him first. And it's just a move that we typically do not see from Ned Yost. He's so loyal. He's so traditionalist in how he goes about things and wanting to keep things exactly the same, just believing that they will work at some point. And now we're seeing some real big shakeups here with Moose being put at the top of the lineup. So even Ned Yost may be showing some signs of concern here with what has happened with the Royals over the last really the entire season in terms of their offense, but especially going 0-5 over their last five games. Now, I saw this statistic earlier today from Sam Ellinger in the Kansas City Star, and this really stands out. And there are a million different statistics that look terrible for the Royals right now, but this one really caught my attention. Back in May of 2013, if you want to get in the time machine a little bit here, May of 2013, so we're talking about before the Royals ended their playoff drought, before they went to the World Series, before they won the World Series. May of 2013, the Royals were really, really bad offensively. And they fired their hitting coach after a 19-game stretch in which they scored 65 runs over 19 games. Well, the Royals have played 19 games this year, and they have scored 47 runs. Not 65, 47. So that gives a really good indication as to just how bad things have been for this offense. And it does not appear to be trending in any sort of positive direction, even though they have not been playing teams that have great pitching so far this year for the most part. It's starting to get really, really concerning for
me. And it's not even close to who's last, because Toronto's second to last, and they've scored 64.
Right. Yeah, their offense has been abysmal. And, you know, the Royals, it was nice at the beginning of the year because they were hitting a whole lot of home runs. We're like, oh, wow, this is a power team now. But this was another stat I want to point out. There have been 235 home runs hit in the major leagues this year with more than one runner on base. You want to know how many were hit by the Royals?
I'm going to say zero.
Or excuse me, I should say with one or more runners on base. So non-solo home runs. Let me phrase it that way. There have been 235 non-solo home runs hit in the major leagues this year.
I want to say zero.
The Royals have two.
Two? Okay.
They have two-run homers, and that is it. So, yes, they are hitting more home runs, but they're doing so in pretty low-leverage situations. We'll see. We'll see what they can do tonight in Chicago, but the clock is ticking, and they are, what are they now, 7-12 on the season?
Yeah,
not great.
And they're really hard to watch right now, because last night, you know, flipping back and forth, I did it all weekend long, just flipping back and forth, just trying to keep up with it, but it just gets hard to watch a team that can't even hit the baseball.
Right.
The two hits last night, that's That's pitiful. I talked to Dave about this morning on the K-Man morning show, and it's hard to watch right now. Because, okay, this is the Royals we grew up with, right? Not this team, obviously, but the style of baseball, the way the success, the poor offense, poor records, not winning games. I mean, that's kind of what we grew up with, but right now it's not what we're used to. It's an entirely different reaction, in my opinion, than what you had back in the day.
Well, I was sitting there, and I had the game on last night, and it was when it was still close. It was before it got way out of hand, and then I did change the channel. But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got three different options right now. I can watch the Royals. I can watch Raw, which was in Kansas City last night, and that's the only reason that I would have watched it was because maybe I'll see, you know, Corey Dean on the TV or something. Or I can watch Better Call Saul. I went with option C, and I watched Better Call Saul, and it was a great episode last night.
Good.
What did you watch?
I watched Raw.
That's what I figured. How was it?
It was okay. Didn't really miss anything.
Okay. That's really all the recap that I needed of Raw last night. So the Royals will be back in action tonight against the Chicago White Sox. They will not be at Kauffman Stadium because Kansas State is at Kauffman Stadium tonight against Arkansas. First pitch now at 5:30 as the weather has moved it up a little bit. Pre-game coverage will start at the top of the hour. When we come back, it is officially NFL Draft Week, an update on where Jordan Willis and Elijah Lee are at in the eyes of the experts. That's next on The Game.